Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something seriously useful, an echo chamber blueprint in Ableton Live 12 for old-school D&B swing, with macro control that actually feels performance-ready. The big idea here is simple, but powerful. We are not just slapping delay on drums for a bit of vibe. We're designing a chamber that behaves like part of the groove. Something that can move from tight and dry to dubby, smeared, and alive, while still keeping the kick, snare, and sub clean enough to hit hard. That balance is the whole game in drum and bass. This works especially well on old-school jungle-informed rollers, darker liquid, rarer halftime hybrids, and anything where movement matters more than clean perfection. If your drums need depth without losing authority, this is exactly the kind of tool you want in your rack. First decision: where does the effect live? For this kind of work, I'd usually put it on a return track and send into it from your snare, ghost hits, hats, shaker layers, and chopped break fragments. That keeps your dry drums intact, and it means you can throw space into the chamber only when you want it. If you insert it on a drum subgroup, it gets more committed and more chaotic, which can be great, but it's riskier. For most advanced D&B workflows, start on a return. It's safer, more musical, and easier to automate. Now build the chain using stock Ableton devices. Keep it clean and focused. Start with Echo, then EQ8, then Saturator, then Utility. That order matters. Echo creates the repeat pattern. EQ shapes the repeats so they don't crowd the mix. Saturator adds grime and density. Utility keeps the stereo image under control. For the echo, begin with a sync time like 1/8 or 1/8 dotted, depending on the feel you want. Keep feedback around the low to mid range at first, maybe 15-35%. That's enough to create movement without washing out the next bar. Filter the delay inside echo so the repeats stay out of the low end and don't get too bright. Then use EQ8 on the return to high pass the whole thing somewhere around 180-300 Hz. If it gets boxy, dip some of the 300-700 Hz area. If it gets too sharp, soften the 3-5 kHz zone. A low pass somewhere around 7-9 kHz often gives you that worn, old-school chamber character. Then add saturator. Keep it subtle at first. A few dB of drive can glue the repeats and make them feel more period correct, a little rougher, a little more tape-like. Utility comes last so you can control width and mono stability. Start conservative. You do not need giant stereo width to make this work. In fact, in D&B, too much width can weaken the center and make the snare feel less authoritative. Now group the chain into an audio effect rack and map the useful parameters to macros. Don't waste macros on tiny cosmetic adjustments. Make each one do a clear musical job. A good setup is chamber size on feedback, swing or nudge on the sync time or rhythmic feel, tone on the EQ balance, grit on saturation drive, width on utility, throw level on overall wet amount, and then one macro for fill energy that links a few things together for transitions. That separation is important. Why this works in D&B is because the effect must serve the drum hierarchy. The kick hits first, the sub stays centered, the snare leads the phrase, the chamber supports that, extends it, and answers it. If the effect starts stealing the spotlight, it stops being musical and starts being clutter. Now let's talk about the rhythmic feel, because this is where the old school swing really lives. There are two useful modes. The first is the groove mode. That's your short, bouncy setting, usually based around 1/8 or 1/8 dotted. It gives you that lopsided bounce behind the snare and hats. The second is the event mode. That's more spacious, around 1/4 or something similarly open, with a little more feedback and a darker tone. Use that for breakdowns, intro space, or the last phrase before a drop. What to listen for here is really important. The delay should bounce around the snare without landing on top of the next kick. If it starts stepping on the groove, the division is too busy or the feedback is too high. Tighten the timing before you reach for more processing. And listen for this too. The snare should still feel like the loudest event. The echo should create motion and depth, not become a second snare line that confuses the rhythm. Once the basic tone is right, shape the repeat so they answer the drum pattern instead of fighting it. Keep the return mid-focused. Darker is usually better than brighter in old-school D&B, because you want the chamber to feel like a worn drum room, not a shiny digital wash. Saturation helps here a lot. A little grit makes the repeats feel like they belong to the track. A little wear often sounds more expensive than a super clean effect. Another key move is automation, but automate the rack macros, not the raw device controls. That keeps your movement coherent and musical. For example, you can keep the chamber relatively subtle through the main groove, Then open the size macro on the last beat of an 8-bar phrase. You can darken the tone in dense sections so the return recedes. You can push grit slightly into transitions. You can widen the chamber a bit in the pre-drop, then pull it back in the drop so the center feels stronger. What to listen for in the arrangement is whether the chamber is shaping the phrase or just sitting there all the time. The best use of this effect is as arrangement language. A little throw at bar 8, a bigger bloom at bar 16, a darker, more threatening tail before a switch up. That's where it becomes a performance tool instead of a static effect. You can even print the best throw to audio once it lands perfectly. That's a big advanced move. Once you commit it to audio, you can trim it, reverse it, fade it into a downlifter, or cut it off hard before the next hit. In DNB, that kind of printed echo tail can become part of the track's identity. If you want a cleaner and dirtier version, build two states. One tight chamber, one dirty chamber. The tight one is shorter, narrower, and more controlled. The dirty one has a bit more feedback, more saturation, and a darker tone. That contrast is huge in drum and bass, because it lets you keep the first drop focused and then make the second drop or transition feel like it has evolved without changing the drums themselves. Let's keep checking the mix, because this is where a lot of people get tricked. Solo can lie to you. A chamber can sound exciting by itself and still ruin the groove in context. So bring the kick and sub back in and listen like a club system would. The effect is working if the kick still punches first. The sub stays clear and centered, the snare keeps its front edge, and the chamber sits behind it all, extending the bar instead of blurring it. If the low end gets fobby, the fix is usually more filtering on the return and less feedback, not just less vibe overall. If the top end gets too brittle, darken the return or ease off the saturator. A good mono check is essential too. In DNB, the dry drums and sub should stay mono stable. The chamber can widen, but mostly in the upper content. If widening the return makes the snare weaker in mono, back it off. Keep the width conservative in the main groove and reserve the wider settings for fills and breakdown moments. A nice advanced trick is to make one macro do one clear musical job. If a macro changes feedback, tone, and width all at once, it becomes hard to control. Keep your everyday controls simple and musical. Save the bigger combined movement for a dedicated throw or fill macro. That makes the rack playable when you're writing fast. Here's a really useful mindset shift. Treat the chamber like a supporting percussion layer, not a special effect. If it were an extra shaker or a rim shot occupying that frequency space, would it still make sense? If not, it's probably too loud, too bright, or too long. That's a great test for keeping things dance-a-floor functional. And remember, in DNB, the chamber is part of arrangement, not just sound design. Let it define phrase endings. Let it answer the snare. Let it collapse before the drop. That contrast is what makes the next section feel harder. Sometimes the best move is not more delay, but silence after the throw. Cutting it hard can make the next hit feel massive. If the track is darker or heavier, keep the chamber shorter and dirtier. If you want more menace, use a dark throw mode, slightly more feedback, slightly narrower width, darker tone. That feels heavier than a huge glossy wash. For ghost hit detail, send little ghost snares and hat stabs into the chamber instead of just the main snare. That creates a coded, human feel. It's subtle, but it makes the groove feel alive. So here's the core recap. Build the echo chamber on a return. Keep the kick and sub out of it. Use echo, EQ8, saturator, and utility in a sensible chain. Map macros so you can control size, tone, grit, width, and throw level like a performer. Filter the repeats hard enough to protect the groove. Keep the chamber rhythmic, not just spacious. Then automate it across the arrangement so it becomes part of your phrase structure. The sound you're after is warm, gritty, slightly haunted, and still punchy. The snare stays in front. The echoes answer it. The room gets more obvious at the end of phrases, not during the busiest part of the loop. That's the old-school DNB sweet spot. Now do the exercise. Build one performance-ready rack, run a 16-bar loop, and make bar 8 and bar 16 feel like real chamber moments. Keep the first 12 bars supportive, then let the last 2 bars bloom into a proper transition. If you land a perfect throw, print it and use it as material. That's where the magic starts. You've got the blueprint now. Keep it tight, keep it dark, and let the chamber serve the break. That's how you make echo feel like part of the drum record, not just an effect on top of it.